AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Wendy Gillette in New York. The Supreme Court struck down President Biden's plan to forgive some student loans. It's a positive development for the director of engagement at New Civil Liberties Alliance, Clegg Ivey.
The judiciary, the executive, and the legislative, and never the twain shall meet.
President Biden is expected to speak in about a half hour about the ruling.
The conservative court turned in a 6-3 ruling that said the administration overstepped its authority in trying to cancel or reduce student loan debts. Specifically, the court said the HEROES Act, which was used to justify the program, did not apply in this case. The ruling effectively kills the $400 billion plan the president announced last year and leaves borrowers on the hook for repayments to resume in the fall. Linda Kenyon, CBS News, Washington.
The justices also issued a decision in a case involving LGBTQ rights, siding with a Colorado web designer who claimed free speech allowed her to refuse work on wedding sites for same-sex couples. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
After the Supreme Court established a right to privacy in same-sex marriage, the court lost Justice Kennedy to retirement and Justice Ginsburg to death. Those two seats were filled by two President Trump appointees who signed this majority opinion. That's what made the difference here.
Indiana's Supreme Court is allowing a near-total ban on abortion. CBS's Christopher Cruz reports.
The court ruled 4-1 to uphold a law that bans almost all abortions in the state. A lower court had blocked the law after Planned Parenthood and other abortion providers challenged it. The high court ruled that the state's constitution doesn't include a broad right to abortion. The ruling means Indiana joins 14 other Republican-led states in enforcing abortion bans.
AAA projects record-breaking travel this 4th of July holiday weekend. KCBS reporter Matt Bigler has more.
The line for security screening stretched all the way through the baggage claim here at Oakland International.
I was shocked.
Like, we saw it right here, but then just kept winding around. So it was a little bit concerning.
The Pulvers were flying to Tennessee to visit family for the 4th of July. They didn't realize they'd pick the busiest travel day of the Independence Day holiday.
It's a little stressful. At least we got here an hour early, but we're kind of like, we don't know if we'll make it.
Hundreds of flights have been delayed or canceled as airlines struggle with bad weather and ongoing staffing problems. Matt Bigler for CBS News, Oakland.
Lawyers representing a former producer for ex-Fox News anchor Tucker Carlson have settled a lawsuit against the network for $12 million. It has been a winning day on Wall Street. The Dow up 324. This is CBS News.
Staples stores provide innovative products and services for small business, remote workers and learners, even teachers and parents. Explore more at your local Staples store.
Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Sweet Summer Sale, June 30th through July 10th, and get 30% off paints and stains with prices starting at $31.14. That means 30% off our most popular color family, blue. Psychologists have found it to be soothing and relaxing, which makes it especially great for bedrooms and bathrooms. And of course, get 30% off all of our other colors. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
There's a right way and a wrong way to fight off mosquitoes. Karate chopping the air in a public place in front of your kids and their friends,
Mom,
is the wrong way. Using Stem mosquito repellent is the right way. Stem effectively repels mosquitoes by harnessing active ingredients found in plants like lemongrass and peppermint, making it safe for use as directed around people and pets. Stem, rooted in nature, optimized by science, and embarrassment-free.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today. 855-954-1186.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again. Tonight, lows dip down to about 61. Highs level off around 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mid-80s, Sunday, with a chance for scattered showers. Upper 80s, Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everyone, to Midday Magazine. Have your host, James J. Matloff, here. At 3:30, we're going to welcome in Keith Olson, along with Priscilla and Mary Beth, as we talk with our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids City Band. Looking forward to that. Right now in studio, we have Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. Good morning, Shane.
Good morning, James. How are you?
Doing good. Good to see you, sir. Thanks for being here. Want to say a big shout out to our friends at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media as well. Thank you for being here. Be sure to go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, subscribe to their page, keep up to date with all the cool things that they got going on over there. Sir, thanks for being here. How have things been, Shane? How have you been doing?
I've been good, and been keeping busy. How about you?
Same. It is. It's summer. It's go time. We'll get more into that in a little bit. We're wrapping up. We wrapped up Cranberry Blossom Fest in the community. I wanted to get your take. I wanted to see how you, from you and your team's perspective, things went in the community.
Yeah, you know, I think they've got that event down to a science. They've been doing it enough, and so everything's usually pretty much all set up, ready to go. Yeah, I think that really helps. It helps the organizers and helps the community because then you kind of know what to expect.
Yeah, it's successful every year. I think that's kind of understood. But the event itself grows every year. With that, that the organizers, do you do a lot of back and forth with them of city planning or anything? Or is it kind of they take the ball and run with it?
Yeah, so the city has a special events application that they do. And it kind of outlines everything going on, what services or assistance they need from the city. Part of that event process is if your event doesn't change, then you don't need to really, it kind of automatically reapproved. And so, you know, for the most part, everybody knows, like the street department, the parks department, everybody in the city kind of knows, hey, this is this weekend and we need to get this ready. So it's pretty smooth.
It's a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. It really is. And that's with the additions they make year in and year out and the tinkering that they do and stuff. A very successful event.
Yeah, I think it's important, you know, for events to survive is they've got to make some tweaks and changes. Otherwise, it just becomes the same event. And I think I always believe that events run their course at some point. And so if you're not changing and maybe doing some new things, it'll kind of fall off. And so I think it's good that events change.
We'll be talking about this another time, probably. Actually, I don't know if we will be, because by the when you join us next month, the event may have already taken place.
Yep.
I want to talk a little 4th of July with you.
Absolutely.
You recently, your office released the plans for our Independence Day this year here in Wisconsin Rapids. Let's go over the details of the event. Anything different or new this year?
No, it's, you know, we've kind of established that our 4th of July is well attended, and it's a pretty great event, and so we try to, you know, continue on with that. I can't announce yet that we're going to have a flyover, but we are definitely working on it, and they are in communications with us, but we haven't gotten the AOK yet, and so we're hoping for that again this year. And all we ever hope for is a nice weather and no rain.
It's going to be from the Wisconsin River, as usual, downtown Wisconsin Rapids. The display will begin approximately about 9:30.
Correct.
So maybe viewed along most of the riverbank, downtown area, except for the launch and safety zones. Be on the lookout for that. Be sure to avoid those areas. And we'll talk a little bit more about boaters and that a little bit more later into things. The DJ, entertainment engines, going to be playing music around 6. Keep that in mind, too.
And the vendors will be down there.
We're always excited about that, too. That's one of those things to me about the event that I always love the added bonuses. We understand the fireworks and a lot of the big things, but it's the one more opportunity for vendors to get out there, get some funds, and us to get some great products.
And everybody can socialize and hang out and kind of celebrate what the day is to celebrate.
National anthem going to be sung by Don Johnson. That's a get to get Don Johnson, Mr. Miami Vice. No, I'm joking. Don's great. He's a great voice, and that's a really nice person to have doing it. It's going to be immediately before the fireworks show begins.
Correct.
And as Mayor said, food, refreshments going to be down there. Do we know the vendors? Do we know any of the types of foods that are going to be down there yet?
I know they're registering in the clerk's office. Okay. I haven't gone down to look at that list, but I'm sure all the ones that have been there in the past we'll see again. And hopefully, I'm pretty sure there's a few new ones. Yeah. And yeah.
It's another very similar to Cranberry Blossom Fest. This fireworks display, like a lot of towns, it's another opportunity to bring the town together, for you to see people maybe you don't always see. But another great opportunity to promote these vendors, to promote these food companies and that are in our area and our neighborhood, and also support local.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
The Wisconsin Rapid City Band going to be performing outside of the Centralia Center at 223rd Avenue South from 7 to 8. They're going to be joining us in the next segment.
Excellent.
We're looking forward to talking about this, but I love this city band. They do such a great job every year, and I like that they're a part of the event.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think they've been around part of the event for quite a while.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm. If you're planning to attend this event, we got a couple of things for you to consider. No tarps, blankets, or chairs may be placed on the riverbank or at any city park before 6 a.m. on July 4th. Any article placed before 6 a.m. is going to be removed. Do not place blankets over plantings or mulch or anything. Mm-hmm. I never see this as a huge issue, but it's something that we do got to remind people about.
Yeah, years ago they used to show up several days, and so now, you know, there was a couple $1 million investment in the riverfront. So, you know, the longer the tarps are down, you know, we don't want to kill the grass. We don't want to people fighting over spots. And so, yeah, if you want to get up early at 6 and get your tarp out, you know, have at it. But
I remember my brother and sister and I going to a park early in living in this area, and it was Robinson. We were over at Robinson, and I don't know if we were picking up dirt or kicking dirt or something like that, but my dad getting on us right away, and just like, you got to treat it like it's my yard. And my dad takes very good care of his yard. You would not treat my dad, you'd treat it like it's a brand new sofa. Like he should put that plastic stuff on the yard. Like, that's how my father is about his yard. So it's very similar to what we talk about also with the library. You know, when you're renting these things, they're not yours. You don't own them. Treat them with respect. Treat our parks the same way, and treat these the area here that we're getting in, take this 4th of July in, and with some respect.
Yeah, there's a large amount of tax dollars that have been put into it, and I think it's just a responsibility to, you know, if we can take care of it, it's less we have to put into it to fix it, maintain it, and it's better for all of us. We can use that money elsewhere.
I was just going to say, those tax dollars can go into other things. It benefits everybody.
Correct.
No parking will be allowed on 2nd Street South between East Jackson Street and Mead Street from 6 a.m. on July 4th through the conclusion of the event. Again, we are pretty used to that, and we just even got a precursor with Cranberry Blossom Fest and everything.
Yeah.
The city does a really good job with this. I wanted to commend Kyle, the whole team over there, all your whole staff, because I know it takes many hands to coordinate this stuff. I go through, I'm on one side of town and to the other almost every day. I got to go through A Street, all this stuff. And I'm always blown away when we have these events that take up a certain road that we use every day, and we're able to get around it with no issues. You know, a tip of the hat to everybody over there.
Yeah, we kind of adapt. But yeah, we started a meeting a couple months ago, you know, making sure everything's getting set up internally, and, you know, all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed. And so, yeah, we planned this several months ago.
No traffic will be allowed on West Grand Avenue between 2nd Street and 3rd Street. Keep that in mind. Parking spaces designated for individuals with disabilities will be available at the Moravian Church on Goggin Street and the First Congregational Church on Maple Street in their parking lot. A big thank you to both of those organizations hosting this and letting people park over there. We appreciate them doing that. For boaters, I did want to touch on this one. There will be a safety zone established, dependent on the weather conditions, which will be set and monitored by boat patrols. This will protect boaters from being in an area where fallout from display could strike a person or boat and potentially cause injury or a fire or explosion. Not so much in our area, but every year you hear nationally about, you know, bad stories from fireworks or these things. Let's not get on the national map with something like this. Let's go ahead and be safe out there and enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, the DNR and I think I'm pretty sure mainly DNR will be out there, and I think the fire department will have their boat. But yeah, they set up that zone. And then also part of the rules are we have to use the size mortars that we want to use. There has to be a designated size of a zone by a certain distance. And so we have to maintain that so we can shoot off the bigger displays.
Yeah. Now, I also want everybody to keep in mind this fireworks show relies on donations from citizens and businesses. We greatly, first off, appreciate everybody that has put into this so that we can even have a fireworks show. But I want to encourage other people to, you know, be able to donate if you can and put into this if you can. You're putting back into your city. You're putting back into something that promotes our area, brings people to our area, helps bring the economy up, all of those things. If you want to be a part of this, you can go to wirapids.org/donate, wirapids.org/donate. Otherwise, you can contact their finance department at 421-8233. That's 421-8233. Thank you very much to everybody that does and has already donated. It's a fun event, and I know that in years past we've had kids get involved with this, so that you know, to help with the fundraising. We've had a couple of different ways of doing this. It's city funded, it's city donated, and I think that that's really cool in a sense, because it's us who are enjoying this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not that different than spending a little money so that you can enjoy an event or go to a concert or something like that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we all pay taxes, and you know, it's nice when some of those dollars can be used for a benefit that we can all enjoy and take part in.
I want to talk a little bit about the weather. If weather goes south on us, which can happen in Wisconsin, I've heard this before. I don't know.
On occasion and quickly.
You go ahead and keep a listening here at WFHR stations like our places like ours. Wisconsin Rapids Community Media would also, I would say Facebook is a great place to go.
City web Facebook page.
Yeah, yeah. Do we have an alternate date, an alternate time? If that isn't the case, because I'm seeing here Wednesday the July 5th.
Correct. It's the next day.
Yeah. So a notice would immediately be released on the following, you know, media outlets. Like, as I mentioned, the City of Wisconsin Rapids Facebook page, the Wisconsin Rapids Community Media website as well, Solaris Channel 3, Charter 985, and Nixle.com is another website you can go to for text alerts. Also, regarding the possession and sale and the use of fireworks, if you don't mind us getting into that a little bit.
Yeah, I could try to answer some of those, because it always comes up every year, and I know when I was a clerk, we spent time and discussing
this,
that, too.
And this is one of those ones, too, where I would say, I feel pretty confident saying 90% of the audience, maybe even more than that, know how to handle this stuff, know how to deal with these things, and have their fire when they're going to do their own little fireworks display. They're going to do it at a reasonable time, and they're going to be smart about it. I would like to add to that that's all well and good, and that's something you should do. Know your neighbors too. You know, find out if they got dogs. Find out if there's a vet that lives in your neighborhood or something, and find out if they have an issue with these things. The 4th of July it's not in the Bill of Rights that you have to use fireworks in order to celebrate the 4th of July. Like I'm lost on this one, because I got burnt out of fireworks. That's not a pun. I didn't mean to make that.
You don't look burnt.
Yeah, as a kid, I kind of got it. It was enough to me and everything. But I love the event. I love the community coming together. I love celebrating the 4th. I'm one of the biggest homers you're going to find, USA. But the knucklehead part of this, where you've got people lighting off fireworks at 1 a.m, or you have people that don't take any consideration for animals, for our veterans. There's ordinances. There's things. It's not just me here jumping on a soapbox. There's actual laws in place for this.
Yeah, I think, you know, the problem comes in is I think everybody kind of accepts the 4th of July. There's going to be fireworks.
And, yeah.
You know, if everybody would contain it to the 4th, there would probably be less problems. But it's when they start a week before and they're going off at midnight, 1, yeah. 2 in the morning, that's when, by the time the 4th comes, people are pretty much had enough. And, you know, if you could contain it to the 4th, there's probably a lot less problems. But, yeah, if it's going to be before the 4th, neighbors call. It's just notorious that people start calling when it gets to be late at night.
You know, take into consideration others. And remember, a big part of celebrating the 4th of July is celebrating your neighbors, celebrating fellow Americans. It's celebrating our country. It is not an individual celebration. It can have individual feelings and meanings, certainly. But it is not just about you. It is about celebrating what we've got here, this amazing country that we have.
Yeah, so keep it to the 4th, and there's a whole lot less issues then.
Yeah, and I like the idea of the buildup to it, too. I like the idea. It's very tempting to get those fireworks. I've been in this position, too, where you want to celebrate and you want to go ahead and light them off. And I've been 21. I know what it is like to want to, you know, celebrate all night long and doing these things. Got to keep it in the consideration.
Those of us, I can't do that anymore.
Yes, yes, I hear you. Yes, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, it's the bar time, like, hey, let's go light off fireworks. And that usually gets neighborhoods and people pretty riled up. And those of us that can't make it that late anymore.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer. And, Mayor, I know recently there was some conversation about city council adjustments to committees and meetings. What took place with that? What's the conversation?
So, yeah, the Monday there was a committee of the whole meeting made up of the council members, and they had discussed the potential of going down to or having two council meetings a month and kind of eliminating standing committees. And there's a lot of confusion, a lot of questions, which is more than fair. A standing committee is considered a public works, finance, and human resource committee because they're made up of council members. Mm-hmm. And those would be the ones that were being discussed to being eliminated. Mm. And then just creating that extra council meeting and handling everything twice a month versus kind of once a month. Mm-hmm. But then the problem is you add all that to one council meeting. It could be a very long meeting, mm-hmm. and I don't know how that would go. You know, I think you kind of get after several hours. I could see people like, all right, let's just pass this stuff and get going.
Yeah.
If there's public there waiting to speak, you know, I struggle with that because you know that's not really. I think that'll kind of build that frustration.
Yeah.
But ultimately, they came to a tie on Monday, and mm-hmm. I'm not part of that committee, so I don't have a tie-breaking vote. So mm-hmm. because it came to a tie, it failed. Mm-hmm. And so last night, they kind of continued that discussion. You know, I was personally, as I said last night, I probably would have been in favor of exploring it further mm-hmm. because the city of Wapaka does this, and I actually yesterday started watching a couple of their meetings. I'm kind of see how it flowed, see what that process looked like. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it ended up not passing, and we're not any worse off. As I spoke on Monday, that I think part of the problem is, our ordinances, if they don't pass unanimously, have to come back a second time, which can stretch out that process to a second month. And that's just a rule that we have, mm-hmm. and other places have. And I thought, well, maybe potentially if we got rid of that second reading, and just have it go to that council that month, and it passes by a majority, because we go by a majority in this mm-hmm. country, and just kind of leave it at that. And then if there is a problem, they can always, under Robert's Rules of Orders, they can bring those ordinances back again, like different motions to renew and reconsider, and kind of looking at it at that point. So that was my kind of quasi-solution to this. We'll see where it goes. But ultimately, the council, they're not changing the way they're doing business currently.
What brought this about?
I think Patrick Delaney, one of the councilmen, were kind of, looking at trying to, exercise or get this process moving a little quicker, because sometimes we're concerned that with development, you have to go to so many meetings and it stretches out over months. And, if we can move some of this business quicker, mm-hmm. it's not a bad thing. And I also, if you come to a council meeting and they can hold it over another month too. It doesn't mean just because it's that council that they have to act on it. So if there's not enough information or people are feeling uncomfortable or they want to make sure that the citizens are aware of it, they can stretch it out another month. So there's a lot of options, but at this point, we're status quo.
Yeah, and as a side note, always encourage people to check out these meetings. They're available for you. Go to Wisconsin Rapids Community Media's YouTube page. You can find them all right there for you and keep up to date on everything that is going on in your community.
They also pump them out live on Facebook.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people kind of, they take a moment and they watch and kind of move on. But, we do get visitors there.
It's a good idea. And it's a way to not only stay informed, but to know what's going on in your zip code, what's going on in your area.
Yeah, a person spoke last night. I don't know if he really totally understood the process. But, people don't understand really sometimes government, but I was talking last night after the meeting that, you know, our local government, no matter where you're at, is probably the easiest form of government. I don't know if anybody's watched any state and federal legislators in action. Mm-hmm. Now that can get confusing, but locally I think it's pretty straightforward. You know, if you have questions or comments or concerns, reach out to your alderman. Just start with your alderman, and they can kind of help you guide through the process. I spend my days returning phone calls with people that don't know where to go, don't know how to handle a situation, and we'll work through it together, you know. Because you can go to your government during your civics classes, but, you know, trying to figure this out, process out, you need help. And it's confusing, especially people that are in a daily basis. We're here to help. You know?
Yeah. Oh, we got to give each other some grace. Mm-hmm. We talk about this all the time. Mm-hmm. We're way too quick to anger, way too quick to complain. You look at the comments section of most things in life, and it's never, hey, great job. It's always blah, 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 blah.
And
it's barking. And it's we've gotten to a point in society where the majority of people are like, enough. Enough. Like, there's plenty of times in life to call that card, to play the anger card, to play the negative card or whatever. You don't have to make up reasons. Life will give you reasons to do this. You don't have to go choose your battles wisely. Don't be so quick to anger. If you have a concern, you're an American citizen.
Yeah,
you have every right to voice that concern. Do a little homework. Do be so quick to blah, 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 you're doing this wrong. Well, did you look into it? Do you understand how our government works? Are you complaining even to the right person? That's something that I run into a lot with Sheriff Becker, where there's a lot of that where that's not my field. I don't even take care of that county. I can't help you here. Just because I have a badge doesn't mean I can help you. Understanding this going forward is for your benefit out there. It is for you to know these things that is really helpful.
Yeah, we just have platforms now where people can hide behind a keyboard. And, it's easy to make comments on Facebook or wherever, whatever platform you're at. But, you know, it's a struggle because they probably, a lot of people, and there are people out there, which, you know, I absolutely respect the people that are willing to look in the eyes and tell you what they think. But there's a lot of people that just hide behind a keyboard and just spew it out there. And that does no good.
You show what you're saying if it means something to you. If I see somebody just putting a comment on the end of an article or something like that, and that's all they do, well, that person didn't really care that deeply about that particular issue or whatever. That's how it comes across to me and to 99% of the audience out there. You actually take the time and you reach out to an alderman or our mayor or somebody like that. That goes a lot farther. You're going to actually be heard. And it's about that. Do you want to bark or do you want to be heard? It comes down to a lot of that.
And people do reach out, you know, and so it's like, you know, people that don't reach out need to realize that people reach out, aldermen work through these processes. Aldermen call me like, hey, I've got this situation, you know, and one of my constituents called me and we work through it, you know, we figure it out and we help them go through the process. If there is a process, or sometimes, you know, as somebody reached out to me about some parking issues around the school. And so I got it on the agenda for them next month to try to get some 2-hour parking during school days, and we're going to move it forward. It was that simple. It started with an email, and within a month, it's going to be on the committee, and we're going to talk about it.
Like you said, with local government, you can really get things done when you have these ideas, when you actually put a little time and effort and energy into it, some thoughts, some brains into it, and you're like, hey, I think this should happen, and reaching out. And it's not that deep of a process, like the mayor was just explaining to you. I would think that people would even more be encouraged with local government to be straightforward, to be, you know, have a real conversation, not just barking, you know, two dogs barking at each other.
Right, and it's easy to get caught into that. You know, I had a situation where a person was contacting me because they were really mad about A Street being closed. And it was like they were adamant and they were pretty frustrated. But realistically, they were the only one complaining. So how much value does that one person have versus the thousands of people that aren't complaining, you know? So it's all about putting in perspective too sometimes.
It's something that in your position, I know that you've either had to learn to do, or maybe you learned in other fields, but the weighing the one over the mass,
right,
and how best to do that, or mm-hmm. when is it, okay, I'm hearing from enough people, this is something we should do that is better for them.
Yep.
I can't imagine what that balance is like. It seems like a skill that you got to learn every day almost.
Well, yeah, because it's easy to kind of listen to that one and kind mm-hmm. of like champion that one cause, but really is it best for the many? And that one person isn't always going to be happy, but it's really about the many and not the one.
Construction update. How are things rolling as far as that? Everything on schedule?
Yeah, so they're told recently that Oak Street's been a big project this year. It's long. They're ahead of schedule. They're moving right along. Nice weather really helps. They've got some curb and gutter in portion of it, and asphalting will be next as they continue moving east to 16th Street. And so then there's a few other little projects that they're going to kind of wrap in here and it's kind of fish up the year then.
That roundabout in the area over by the City Hall, I know it was done last year, but I can't drive it and not think of how nice it is, how nice that whole area has really coming about with the Y over there and everything. It's really coming together nice.
It's kind of amazing because, you know, people usually complain about roundabouts. I have heard so much positive about West Jackson over there and the roundabout. I know people that will avoid other ways, going down the expressway to take Jackson instead. Yeah, it's
I'm one of them. I do that.
I've never really kind of drove through there, but after it was done, I find myself driving more through there and maybe continuing up to High at 34 and getting out of town that way. But, yeah, there's been so much positive responses to that.
A big thank you to all those workers out there, to the schedulers. Keep up the great work. And please, everybody, keep an eye out for our workers out there. They're doing work that is so hard and so difficult. We know how hot it is out there that they're doing this stuff. Don't make them worry about traffic. Don't make them worry about you.
Yeah, because, that's the last thing you want to do is hit a worker. And they're all just trying to do their job and kind of move on with life.
So. Yeah. The paper mill. We can't get together and not bring up the paper mill. And I say the same thing to Representative Krug. Talking with Representative Krug just a couple of weeks ago, didn't really have any updates on this. No. And I think that we're getting to a point here where we kind of have to almost be surprised if we do get an update from this company.
Yeah, it's always a struggle. You know, I've talked with federal legislators. Apparently it's, at least I'm being told, it's actively being marketed to be sold. And all we can do is hope that it will be sold.
Yeah.
And so the city's working with Vandewall and Associates for a redevelopment project down there. Obviously, whoever owns the property gets to decide what they do with it, but should they come to the city and say, hey, what are some ideas? We're going to hopefully have a document that they can work off of. It's frustrating. I think sometimes, I don't know the paper industry very intimately, but I think the part of the problem is just such a massive campus there that it's hard, I think, for a smaller type paper business to come in and try to purchase it all. And so it really needs to be a company like the company that owns it. I wish they would realize and take a look at it and see if they could make one of their products there
or
do something.
Because
they have products that apparently they have products in their portfolio that they don't make in North America.
Yeah.
So, could they utilize it for some other use or within their own company? And
well, and from what I'm seeing, it certainly would be for the benefit of our community, our states, and everything. It would benefit them too. From what I'm seeing, they're siphoning money over there. Like I don't know many companies that could afford to do that, but so it'd be a good thing to get it figured out. I did want to mention that the water park is open. Remind everybody about that. It's fun. Good time. I can't drive past there and not enjoy the sounds and the kids and the music and everything. Encourage people to check out the water park.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's going well. Very few closures. There's been discussions because state law has a temperature requirement of 65 degrees. So that's when we close and people are mad because we're closing it. Well, state law says that we can't be open. And so there's been discussions about that. I've seen some on Facebook. But, we prefer as a city to have it open and not cancel swim classes, not cancel everything going on. And so, when it closes, we're just as frustrated and the staff is just as frustrated.
Understandable. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us. Appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to talking again next week or next month. And have a good summer so far. I enjoy the beginning of summer here.
Thanks, James. You also.
And a big thank you to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Appreciate you guys so much. Be sure to subscribe their page on YouTube. Follow them on social media. It's a great follow. We'll come back with more Midday Magazine right here at WFHR.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's your forecast from Locally Grown Radio, WFHR. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies again tonight, lows dip down to about 61. Highs level off around 86. Tomorrow, a blend of clouds and sun. Mid-80s Sunday with a chance for scattered showers, upper 80s Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 85.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine. It is 3:30 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am going to be joined right now by our friends from the Wisconsin Rapid City Band. We have conductor Keith Olson with us on the phone. Good morning, Keith.
Hi, guys.
Good to have you with us, Keith. Thanks so much for joining us. And we have in studio with us Priscilla Kite. Good morning, Priscilla.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. And our good friend, Mary Beth Rokas.
Hi.
Mary Beth, it's been too long. Good to see you.
You too.
Thanks for being here. Appreciate you all right out the gate. First off, for putting up with me and hanging out with us for a couple of minutes here. But more importantly, what you do for our community. Greatly appreciate it. Celebrating the arts, promoting the arts is something we really champion around here. And you guys are some of the people that we put right at the top of the list that we want so much to be able to talk about and share information and share what you guys do. So thank you very much for the time and appreciate what you do. First, let's go ahead round robin here, and let's have you guys introduce yourselves and what you do with the band. I mentioned Keith is the conductor, so I took that from Keith. He doesn't even get to say what he does. Keith, that's not all you do, though, right? You're a bit of scheduling and some other things as well?
The music director position does, I have to program the entire summer, all the music. Thankfully, my wife is Jean Olson, the band director at Lincoln High School. She's also very, very helpful. I bounce ideas off from her for it all the time. We have to track down players and make sure all the chairs are filled. This year has not been a problem. We have a band of about 68, I think, at last count. At last night's concert, we actually had to kind of shift the band on the stage and be a little off center to be able to fit everybody on the stage. So that's one of the challenges. So there's a lot that goes into being the director of the band. Mostly I get to just wave my arms up in front of a really great group of people, and they make me look really, really good.
I appreciate the details there, Keith, because I think that we hear conductor and then we just kind of move on. That's a position that I have such a respect for, and I appreciate what you in particular do at this level of all the kind of behind the scenes stuff to get things set up and the things that you mentioned there. So I appreciate that, Keith. Thank you. Priscilla, how about you? What is your place with this band, with the band?
Well, for many years, I have played flute in the flute section. I think about 1989 is when I first joined the band. Don Cheeseborough was the director at that time. And it's just been a highlight of the summer for our family. Our parents would always look forward to the event.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then when we separated from the city mm-hmm. of payroll, I was a part of the group that said, okay, we need to form our own leaders and have been on the board on and off since that time.
That's great. How long have you been playing flute?
Since high school. Junior high.
Yeah.
So a lot of years.
Is it, we don't need to get into that. None of us want that. But is it is something that you still find the same passion for? You still enjoy just as much as when you were in high school?
I really enjoy the city band experience.
Yeah, good to hear. Good to hear. Thank you for that, Priscilla. Appreciate it. Mary Beth, what don't you do? what would you mind telling us your place with the band?
Well, I've been the band assistant for, I think, 8 years, maybe. I think this. And I help get their sponsors and the ads and help with the promotion and do the programs and just there. I enjoy the people.
Yeah.
Really. It's great. It's fun.
And we appreciate the work that you do there and being a part of things and enjoying that. when it comes to the shows, when it comes to the concerts, I want to mention that there, of course, is fun, music, ice cream. This is a really good opportunity. And it's these concerts, and all except for one of them, pretty much, or two of them, I should say, take place over at Robinson Park. We'll get into those details a little bit more before we let you guys go today. But when it comes to the shows themselves, let's take this one coming up on June 27th at 7:30 at the Performing Arts Center. This is going to be combined with the 132nd Army Guard Band. So with the amount of time that you get to rehearse in these things, and we'll get to that in a moment too, how does that change things with adding this to the band, Keith?
I don't know that it changes a lot. Our schedule is going to stay kind of the same. We'll rehearse our portion of the concert as usual. It's an amazing group of musicians because we rehearse just an hour and a half or so before the concert starts, or 2 hours, I guess. And then we put on a concert and then we put that music away and the following week we start something new. So
impressive.
So with the guard band coming in, we will rehearse our pieces after they've had a chance to set up and rehearse prior to us. And then we'll put the two bands together and we're going to do a combined piece. Our normal closer is America the Beautiful, an arrangement by Carmen Dragon. And they're going to join us on that closer. So that's really the only change there is that the program for us is shortened up a little bit for Tuesday upcoming. And then having the guard musicians around us. They're some of the best musicians in the country. Go ahead.
I didn't want to cut you off because you were going on to something there. They are some of the best musicians in the country.
Yeah, well, the sponsors for that show next week are TCR, which is a local company, and Waterworks and Light. And TCR actually has one of the owners is an alum of the 132nd Army Guard Band and a very good friend of mine from college. And then the other owner is also a very good friend of mine from college and is a vet. And so this was really important for us when they contacted us and said, you know, would we be able to come and split a concert with you? The answer wasn't necessarily, you know, we'll see or we'll try and make it work. It was yes, and we will find someone to sponsor this. And I knew right away TCR would be on board with that. So I know the caliber of musicians that were in this group because I had the fortune of playing with a number of them in college when they were members of the band. So I know a lot of alum from that group.
I appreciate that, Keith. So you again, the next concert you'll have after that one will be July 4th, special concert, 7 o'clock at the Centralia Center downtown, special 4th of July concert. We talk about this every year, Keith. What can we expect from this year's show?
Just, you know, more of what we do on the 4th of July every year, lots of Americana, lots of pieces outlining the history, big Americana band pieces, of course, ending with Stars and Stripes. And I think this is one of the favorite concerts of many of the band members because we do get to play so much really great, truly American music. So,
any Living in America from James Brown? Any of that? I'm just kidding.
that one was left off the concert this year. We were not able to find a decent enough arrangement of that.
So. That's a good call. good idea by you guys. That's a good one. That's a fun one. We look forward to that every year. Actually, we just had Mayor Shane Blazer in with us, and the three of us were discussing this. A great thing that you guys bring to the table every 4th of July. We're so excited about it this year. It's going to be a really good 4th. July 11th, got a 7:30 show at Robinson Park. July 18th, 7:30. July 25th, 7:30. Every Tuesday, those three consecutive Tuesdays, you'll be able to check out shows. Keith, is the music this year that you guys are playing, I imagine, a little bit different. Anything really interesting that you want to let the audience know about? Or kind of what, if you've taken in the Wisconsin Rapid City Band before, we encourage you to do it again because you're going to enjoy the show.
Yeah, when I took over the band, Don Cheesbrough and Bob Kaiser had kind of a rotation of music, and we've left that kind of in place. So there's literally boxes of music on like a 3 or 4 year rotation that we look at every 3 or 4 years, and we pull some music out and we put some new stuff in. Again, my wife has wonderful input, and many of the band members come up with suggestions of tunes that we should do throughout the year. One of our board members likes to buy things on eBay, and he'll buy band arrangements and things. He plays piccolo in the group, and he's actually going to be playing a solo with the band this year, a piece that he purchased for the band and donated. And our concert on, I don't have my calendar in front of me. Did you say the 27th?
June 27th, I have you guys with the 132nd Army Guard. No, July 25th?
No. That's the one. July 25th. That is our theme concert for the year. And that is, we went with a Legends and Heroes theme this year. And so we're actually opening the show with a piece by a Wisconsin composer, Pierre LaPlante, that is called Legends and Heroes. And then we have all kinds of different pieces that outline various legends. One of the pieces that the audience might not know, but I think they'll find very interesting, is called The Witch and the Saint. And it's about, it outlines a pair of twin sisters that kind of go in opposite directions. And the, what else is on that concert? We purchased a new arrangement of Fanfare for the Common Man, because I think everybody is a hero. A new piece by, I think it's Paul Lavender, an arrangement of Wonder Woman. So
that's a fun one. Well,
yeah, so a lot of movie music based around different legends and/or heroes. So it's going to be a good concert. That one will be fun.
Things wrap up for the season on August 1st at 7:30 at Robinson Park with a dance concert. This is going to feature the Swing Doctors. That sounds like a fun idea. How did this come about?
Well, a number of the Swing Doctors play in the group. I was a founding member of that group and continue to play bass trombone with them. And one of the members that it was in both groups decided that we should sponsor a concert, a city band concert. So the group became a sponsor. And then a couple of years after that, I think right after I took over the band, we decided to have the Swing Doctors come and play on that concert. Because the swing music is something that's much more appropriately played in that 17-piece swing band atmosphere than with a concert band. So we do some dance music with the city band, polkas and waltzes and maybe a swing tune or two, and then the Swing Doctors come up on stage. So the Swing Doctors not only sponsor the concert for that night, but then they come and play. So it's always a good time, and it's been a couple of years since we've been able to have them together kind of post-pandemic.
That's going to be a really fun show. Great way to wrap up the season. Looking forward to that. Keith Olson, conductor, speaking right there for us. Priscilla, if you wouldn't mind, I'm curious to know, when you get to play for your home city, your area, your neighbors and stuff, it has to bring a different meaning to it than maybe just performing, for maybe you're in school when you did or these other things. Does it bring that? Because it seems to me when I watch you guys or when I think about the work that you're doing, that it brings a little added bonus to it, a little bit more deeper meaning when you get to perform for your town.
I think so. It feels so much like we're part of the community, and having friends and family and multiple ages at the concert in a very relaxed venue is just extremely fun, which I think it brings a different audience because of the kind of music, the venue. We love playing outside. It's mm-hmm. just, it's, I'm involved in all kinds of formal music settings. Mm-hmm. And we do wonderful music, but it's a very informal setting. Yeah. So people can come and go, eat, bring a picnic and eat, bring your rocking chair and sit and read while you're in the concert. Children playing at the the playground in the background.
And the young people coming out to dance now.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and because of the multiple age groups that the band hosts in its group, we have 15-year-olds, a couple of 15-year-olds this year, and we have several folks who are over 80 that are playing with the group. So it's a rare occasion that brings all of those ages together in a common purpose. And just all of that together just feels like it's our city being together.
Yeah, yeah. It really, it's part of the reason why I love promoting you guys so much. It's exactly what you were touching on there right there, Priscilla, is there are so few things. I can't even think of anything off the top of my head that brings where you'll find 15 and 80-year-olds not only around each other and hanging out, but enjoying the time together, sharing stories and information, certainly about music, but who knows about what else. That is such a unique opportunity for people.
I'm so passionate about the age group thing, too, because our culture in general has moved into separate groups for a long time. You know, teenagers do this, middle-aged people do this, old people do this, and we're all there together loving it and liking each other and liking the music from all these different eras, liking our conductor and and Keith and Gene really do a great job. What he didn't Keith, what you didn't say is how many hours go into just even organizing the music for each concert. It's crazy. There's with 60 some of us, that's a folder for every person. And we do, what, 12 pieces or something like that every week. That's a lot of organizing. So thank you, Keith.
My one issue with Keith is his humbleness. Every year he joins me, I try to get him to do exactly that, Priscilla. Give me the details, give me all the how much time and energy him and his wife put into this, and he's just too humble about it, which we do appreciate about you, Keith, in all seriousness, and do appreciate the time. Mary Beth, a similar question for you. I know you're not playing in the band, but you are an integral part of it. You help things go, flow, move. It's got to have a little bit of a deeper meaning, I imagine, for you being able to do this for your city to and a vet, for a nonprofit that does such good work in the community.
Well, it's been a joy, actually. And I'm so pleased this year for 7 concerts, we have 15 sponsors, which is unreal. And everybody is so receptive to putting ads in. And it's just it's a nice thing to do. I mean, it makes you feel good.
Yeah. Keith, Priscilla, I'll ask you both this question. When it comes to the rehearsals, how often do you guys get to rehearse? And is it, I don't know if it's ever enough time, but do you feel good after you leave the rehearsals? Because I imagine you don't get a chance to rehearse as often as you might like to. How often do you? And how do you feel after rehearsal? What's the feeling like? Priscilla, I'll start with you.
Well, we have an hour and a half to rehearse for each concert. And sometimes, in all honesty, there are a few sections that I wish we could rehearse more than we do. But somehow between the reading through rehearsal and the concert, we're ready for
comes
that
together.
Concert. Almost always.
Keith, certainly we understand how often that you get to rehearse now, but how do you, as the conductor, how do you feel coming out of those rehearsals, not just given the amount of time you have, but how much you care about this?
Well, like Priscilla said, there are times that you walk away from that initial hour and a half and you think there's probably 16 or 20 measures that I should cut out of this, and we should try and find a cut somewhere. Because it's just, you know, we needed more time. And Priscilla hit it right on the head when she said, somehow, miraculously, we are ready. I would say in that 95% of the time. And it's always amazing to me how well those musicians pull that stuff together. The thing that's missing for me personally from my current schedule is just time to do a little bit more score study to kind of know the score a little better and to help the musicians out. But they oftentimes do make me look better than I am. So It's really cool. It's so rewarding to do. I can't imagine not doing it. So
nobody here agrees with you, Keith. No, nobody here agrees with you. Everybody's countering what you're saying. But we do agree with the rehearsal part. And I bring it up because I as a performer myself, I know how integral rehearsal is for me as an actor. Even doing a job like this, I rehearse, I practice and everything. And I still get on the air nervous and unsure sometimes. And I get in the middle of a segment or something and I forget where I am or anything. I do remember being in the city band at East and at Lincoln, the band's in school, and how much time we got to do those things and how you could still feel nervous and pressure when you're going out there, let alone with what you guys do and the rehearsal time you have and how it does always come together. I like the audience to know a little bit about how the sausage is made, and it gives them a little more appreciation for the work that you guys are doing out there. And it also screams of a lot more, as nerve-wracking as it can be, it's kind of fun to walk on that tightrope sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's kind of fun to be out there without a net and just kind of relying on your fellow musicians. It also speaks to the chemistry that is so very important with a band, that somehow you guys just knock out the park every year. You don't get this rehearsal time. You have new members every year. And yet every year it sounds like you guys have been playing together for decades. I find that very, very unique and interesting, Keith. And I imagine that a lot of that has to do with people wanting to work together, people finding the right people, and the chemistry that gets built just from wanting to build that chemistry.
Yeah, the group of people that I was fortunate enough to inherit, the core group of the band is really important to us as a band and to me as a conductor. Section leaders and whatnot, just playing their way through things to help the newer or the younger members kind of stay on track while they're playing. I'm really impressed with the high school students that we have. We've got students that are from Lincoln High School, from Assumption, from Nakusa. I don't know if we've got any Port kids this year, but we have in the past. And I think it's such a valuable experience for them to sit next to these people that do sit down. They read something once, they sit down and they play it for an audience. It is a very different experience from what they get in their high school band, where you rehearse for, days and weeks on end before a performance and polish things up. Knowing how to do that playing impromptu for an audience is I think an important skill is for a musician. And I think because there have been people in the band for many years that have done that, they started out learning to do that. And we have just continued, especially post pandemic, where we went to the one night rehearsal and concert thing right at Robinson. That's been a wonderful change. I think it keeps things very, very fresh for us. None of the music gets stale. At some point, you never dread doing something. So it's been a really cool experience, and I hope we continue doing it that way.
We're speaking with the members of the Wisconsin Rapid City Band, along with conductor Keith Olson. And I usually start off these conversations with the history of an organization or the history of a nonprofit. I did it a little bit differently today, and I'll fill you guys in on why in a moment. But Keith, would you mind telling us a little bit about the history of the Wisconsin Rapid City Band, which is celebrating its 160th birthday this year? It's 160 years. That's amazing.
Yeah, that blew me away when I found that out a few years ago when we celebrated 150, that the band in one way, shape, or form had been around that long and played continually. Mary Beth can probably correct me, but I believe the pandemic year was the only year in 160 years that the band didn't perform at some point during the summer under the moniker of Wisconsin Rapid City Band. So, It's been really exciting to be part of that and to continue that growing. The lineage of conductors for me personally is also really, really cool for me to follow in the footsteps of people like Wally Ives going back to the 50s, and Don Cheesbrough and Bob Kaiser. I'm sure there's one in there that I'm forgetting. So Mary Beth, again, jump in if there's a name I'm missing, or Priscilla. But it, to be able to follow those gentlemen that that did that, it's been really a highlight of my musical career. So
yeah,
I really enjoyed that.
Appreciate that, Keith, and I love the mentions to Mr. Cheeseborough. I have to call him Mr. Cheeseborough because he was my music teacher. So I, even though he's not been for decades, I still have to call him that. But I do appreciate him taking the time with me like he did. He's a very patient guy, very helpful, hands-on kind of learner. I wouldn't have learned trumpet or cornet without it, and it's one of my favorite things. My favorite things I've done with myself is playing those instruments. Mary Beth, can we talk a little bit about how 160 years? That's a long time.
Well, it certainly is. And I came across a picture of the City Band in 1879, and there's a lot of familiar names in there, and the picture is in our program book.
Yeah.
But there's a Schnabel, mm-hmm. who was the director at the time. There's Filio, mm-hmm. Lyons. I mean, familiar names around the community, and so it's just worth it getting our program book to see this.
Yes, so. Yes, and get that program book. Get to these shows, everybody. Support this band. Support local. It's all important. And the reason I wanted to wait to bring this up is because this is thanks to, obviously, the community members that take out of their day to be a part of this band and to share their skills with us. But certainly the backers and donations and support that we receive, yes. The attendance. Want to encourage people to continue to donate, continue to help out with the Wisconsin Rapid City Band, which entertains all of us. It's one of the better investments you can make. They're able to do the work that they do thanks to all of you out there, and we appreciate that.
Thank you.
Appreciate you guys and your time. If people